Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, if you recognize that song and you heard it when it first came out, then you'll have more trouble than the average person getting a job. I'm Marty Goldenson, in for Brian Lehrer, and we want to invite you into our online community for job hunters. It's the Brian Lehrer Show Facebook group called Help Wanted, and you can follow the stories of our five job-seeking bloggers there, Naomi, Marilee, Lauren, Allison, and Jim. Share your own career-building tips and start your own discussion thread. Go to WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show for the Help Wanted link. And we continue our Help Wanted series now with two discussions on ageism. Get a job. We'll look at the law protecting workers over 40 from discrimination, and then we'll talk about strategies to combat ageism with a job coach, Rita Ashley. So, joining me first, Elizabeth Grossman, a New York District Attorney with the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, the EEOC. She'll explain what constitutes ageism according to the law and what kind of cases she sees in our area and what to do if you think you've been discriminated against because of your age. Welcome to the show, Ms. Grossman.
Thanks for having me.
So, we need to begin somewhere. What's the law say? How are people protected?
Age discrimination is protected by federal law. The federal law forbids age discrimination against people who are age 40 or older. And age discrimination involves treating either an applicant or an employee less favorably because of their age.
Listeners, if you think you've been a victim of ageism and you want to tell us about it or you want to find out if you have a case, give us a call. Or if you've signed one of those agreements not to file an ageism complaint when you were laid off and you want to tell us about it, call us, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692 if you don't see the letters on your dialing pad. Or you can post a comment to our show page at WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show. The latest data from the EEOC shows that changes of discrimination in the workplace based on disability, religion, ethnicity, or age are hitting record highs. Do you think that complaints tend to go up in a tough job market?
We think that that's part of the reason the number of charges has increased so much to over 100,000 last fiscal year, but it also may be several other reasons, including a greater knowledge of rights on the part of all employees.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of links into the question of what I wanted to ask you before about the law and where it extends. Certainly, if you've been laid off or fired because of age, you want to deal with that legally. But what about, does the law also apply to people who think they weren't hired because of age?
Yes, the law forbids discrimination when it comes to really any aspect of employment. So that would include hiring, firing, pay, job assignments, promotions, layoffs, training, fringe benefits, or really any other term, condition, or privilege of employment. So it could include training and other opportunities.
Does your legal work show one area is the overwhelming complaint?
The discharge complaints are the largest group under the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, and there we get over six times as many claims of discriminatory discharge as we do claims of discriminatory hiring.
Right, and what's the context for that? Companies laying off a bunch of people, and most of them are older, or what's the shape of it?
It's really a combination of a lot of things. As you know, in this economy, there have been a tremendous number of layoffs, and some employers choose to do a series of smaller layoffs. Some choose to do a series or, one or two very large layoffs. And so, many of those layoffs are troubling in that they do seem to impact people over 40 in a much greater manner than younger people.
Right. I think Steve in Manhattan, who is our caller on line one, has a legal question about getting a job. Steve?
Yes, my question is, during job interviews, I noticed that the interviewers will be asking you what year you graduated college, which is, to me, a very clear-cut way of finding out exactly what your age is when you're trying to prevent them from figuring that out legally.
Yeah, what can they ask legally and not?
And that's an excellent question. The federal law does not specifically prohibit an employer from asking an applicant's age or date of birth or date of graduation, but it's not a recommended practice from my point of view because I think, as you've articulated, it does deter older workers from applying, and it indicates to everyone involved that the employer is interested in how old the person is or how old his or her degree is. So it's not a recommended practice from employers, and I wouldn't let it discourage you entirely if you're applying for a job, but it's certainly something to take note of.
Well, another question along the same line, how much information should you be putting down on your credential, on your resume? In other words, if you've got 30 years of history, people can regularly figure out, take 30 years, add it to 23 when you graduated college, and you've got a 53-year-old person. Showing 20 years?
Steve, let me break in here because this, not too long from now, we're bringing in a second guest who's an expert at just that kind of counseling, what to put in and not to put in. And we're going to stick with legal for this first half. But stay tuned and even call again if you want, and we'll get you an answer to just that. Sticking to this legal issue, though, who should workers turn to if they think that they're victims of ageism?
Well, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission will take charges against employers who have 20 or more employees. Our toll-free number is 800-669-4000, and our website is eeoc.gov. If you have a question as to whether you might be discriminated against and you have access to the Internet, our website is a great source of information.
Good. We'll link that. You said it pretty quickly. We'll link that to our show page. Just go to WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll see those links right there. Tony in Fort Lee has a question.
Hi. How are you? Good morning.
Hi. Good. You're an employer, Tony.
Yeah, actually, I'm an employer, and it's more of an observation. I've been in business 17 years. I have a mobile entertainment company. We provide DJs, videographers, et cetera, and I employ people who are 17 years old and 55 years old. I employ people who are black, overweight, skinny, gay, straight, and I've gotten comments from customers. If I send someone, one of my DJs who might be over the age of 50 to a prom or a Sweet 16, customers will call and say, "Oh, you sent me some old man. Why?" You know, and I know that person does a great job because I've trained them, hired them. I know what they can do, and they'll just be rather blatant about just their age. And there's nothing I can really do. It's a customer. You know, what am I?
Yes.
What do I do? What do I say? But I guess more just as an observation.
It's more than an observation in a way because you're pressured because of the culture. It seems to me to discriminate.
Correct.
You want to please your customers. You're in a position where, in some ways, when the next person walks through the door, you'll be tempted to say, I can't take on another older person.
I'm tempted, but I don't. I don't break from, what my morals are and what I know is right and wrong. I have, like I said before, that's who I employ, and I base it on the job they do. And I think the quality of the work and their capabilities will override in the long run just because they're, my employee's black or overweight, or too young,
right.
17.
Well, you're a decent guy, but Elizabeth Grossman from the EEOC, some of this stuff is not solved, can't be solved legally, right? It's cultural, no?
Well, you're doing exactly the right thing, and we commend you for that. It is illegal to listen to your customer preference to make hiring or assignment decisions. So please, keep up the good work. And the more good employers that they are who don't engage in discrimination can help rebut some of the stereotypes that are out there. And your workplace is a perfect example of that.
Elizabeth Grossman, another question. We've heard about workers who give up the right to complain in order to receive buyouts and severance packages. Is it common to sign something saying that you won't file a discrimination complaint about ageism in the event of a buyout or severance? Is it legal for an employer to ask you to sign something like that?
It is legal, and it is common. The employer can ask someone to waive their rights in conjunction with any settlement of an internal dispute or an EEOC charge or a lawsuit, or in connection with an exit incentive program such as a layoff or reduction in force where the employee is compensated something in order to give up their right to bring a claim. The employer cannot require the employee to give up their right to bring a claim in a vacuum.
Caller Mary from Manhattan's on the line, and I think was just in that boat. Tell us about it, Mary.
Well, it wasn't presented to me as a layoff. I've never been fired in my life, and I was always promoted and given bonuses and that kind of thing. And I'd only been with this company a little less than a year, and they fired me, and they didn't really give me a good reason. Well, not to my mind, anyway.
And what did they ask you to sign?
Sorry?
What did they ask you to sign when they laid you off?
Well, it was one of those that if I wanted, you know, my severance, that I had to promise not to bring any legal action for ageism.
Right. So the second part of that, you're saying, is legal. Whether the first part was legal, we don't know, right?
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay to ask a person to sign such a thing and give up that right, but whether she was actually laid off or fired for that reason would have to be explored, right? I mean, doesn't it make one suspicious if somebody asks you to sign something to get money, not to bring a suit, that maybe you are being laid off for just that reason?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a common practice, I think, that is very widespread. And, you know, employees are often put in an awkward situation because they feel that they may have been discriminated against. They want to pursue their rights. They want to go to EEOC to file a claim. They want to get more answers to their questions as to why they were terminated, but the employer is offering them a not insignificant amount of money in exchange for them giving up their rights to do so. So it's a tough situation that people find themselves in, and, you know, only that individual can make the right decision for him or herself.
If these kind of, you know, severance agreements, not to sue, are on the upswing, you would think that complaints about ageism would be on the downswing. Do you see any of that?
Not so much. It's hard for EEOC to know whether the severance agreements are on the upswing, but there are some very technical requirements that come with a large reduction in force. And so if you get one of those waivers, you may want to check with a lawyer to see if it is a valid waiver under the statute.
It seems to me if I'm an employer and I have a worker who's paid a lot of money, that it's not unlikely that would really help my bottom line most to let that person go first and argue that it's because of the money, not because they're older, which, of course, are coincident. So how do you separate those two facts legally?
Yeah, legally, that's a very complicated issue, and there's been a multitude of different court decisions on the issue. So, you know, I'll just say it seems the employer was giving that person a higher salary because they were making a greater contribution to the workplace. But there are some courts that have been sympathetic to those monetary arguments put forth by employers.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to move on. This is Elizabeth Grossman, by the way, we've been talking to, New York District Attorney with the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission. We're going to move on to the second half of this ageism issue now. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Up next, job coach Rita Ashley gives advice on how to appear young and rigorous in that interview. Give us a call with your questions or advice to others. 212-433-9692. I'm Marty Goldenson, in for Brian Lehrer. Back in a minute. I'm Marty Goldenson, in for Brian Lehrer. Our Help Wanted series continues with more discussion of ageism. We just heard about the law protecting workers from age discrimination. Now we want to shift our focus to helping older job seekers combat ageism. Joining me now is job coach Rita Ashley with advice on how to avoid aging yourself out of a job opportunity. She's the author of two e-books, Job Search Debugged and Networking Debugged. Rita Ashley, welcome to WNYC.
Why, thank you very much, Marty. Pleased to be here.
Good. And or not be here, actually. To be here virtually. And just a reminder that Help Wanted is a Brian Lehrer Show Facebook forum for job seekers and those with employment advice. Share your own career-building tips or start a discussion thread about the job search. Go to WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show for Help Wanted, the Brian Lehrer Show for the Help Wanted link is what you're looking for. So we have established, Rita Ashley, that ageism exists, and while it's not an ideal reality, it is a reality. So let's start with the job interview. You say it's about managing perception. Give us some examples.
In my world, I view the whole job search experience as a marketing effort. And to that extent, it's important to understand who the customer is and what the customer's needs are. One of the attitude checks to take when you're looking at all of your communication with prospective employers is to make it about them, not about you. In other words, what do they need to see? What problem are they trying to solve? What are their priorities?
Right.
And once you've established those things, the marketing effort on your part, vis-a-vis your resume or your email or cover letter, has to do with, I understand what your needs are. Here's how I can fill those needs.
Right. And that shifts the whole basis of the meeting. So it's not about what you look like. It's about your qualifications and how they fit with the employer's needs.
Oh, I wish I had said that, but I can't. What you look like is incredibly important. It's kind of the gorilla in the closet. To tell you the truth, Marty, it's probably the most overlooked aspect of the older person's job search. It's almost never spoken of in the media, and it is important. If you look like you have no energy, if you look like you're slouching, if you look like you can't keep up, and that's the first impression the employer makes of you, you're out of the running before you even get a chance to start the race. But I believe what your point was is that if you emphasize what you can do for the employer, you have a better chance of being paid attention to.
Right, but I hear you because the look could trump all that, because if you really aren't, you don't look fit and energetic and modern, it doesn't matter how qualified you are and how good the fit is.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Even for people who are employed, that aspect is important. They may be dismissed, their ideas may be dismissed by their younger colleagues. They may not be invited for promotion, et cetera. And, you know, the first place to look is the appearance. What is it that you're communicating, simply by how you dress, for instance?
Part of dress nowadays, by the way, is the cell phone, isn't it?
Well, I loved your comment earlier about not carrying around a brick because it dates you. Because you really nailed a very important aspect of the older person's job search, which is the impression they make. So, in fact, I just wrote a blog a couple of days ago that inflamed people. It said that older workers must use Facebook. And my concept there is that it's a checkoff to show that you're current, that you're contemporary, that you understand and use today's tools.
It really is proof that you understand social networking.
It doesn't mean that you understand it. It means that you embrace it.
Because
understanding it, I don't think anybody understands it.
Yeah, but you embrace it. You're aware of it. Yeah, you're in the world.
Yes, and it isn't that you have to pay attention to it every single day. It's a check off.
Right, I get
that
it.
You have your LinkedIn profile, you have your Facebook, you have your Twitter account, and people now know, okay, this isn't my grandfather.
I want to try to link you up, Rita Ashley, with our listeners. So, right now, give us a call with questions for Rita Ashley on how to combat ageism. Are you an older job seeker with an upcoming interview? Give us a call. Or employers, call us up and tell us how you think that older employees can put their best foot forward. You can call us anonymously, get that, if you want. 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Call us up. So older workers have lots of job experience, and but you caution people about getting too far in the weeds explaining about their past experiences. What are the hazards there?
Well, the current employer or the prospective employer wants to know what you can do today using today's tools to solve their current problem. And that's really where the conversation needs to be. Earlier, you had a caller saying, oh, my goodness, they want to know when I graduated college and I have 30 years experience.
Yes.
How do I hide that? And the answer is you don't. The answer is you certainly don't emphasize it. But if you leave off, for instance, the year in which you graduated, it becomes a point of conversation. If it's just there, nobody needs to ask you about it. But the most important thing is that employers want to know what you can do today using today's tools. So your most recent, let's say your last five, at the most 8 years experience,
mm-hmm.
which addresses their needs. Once again, you've cherry-picked from your experience. And the older employer, the older candidate has a real advantage in that regard because they have more examples from which to choose.
Right, that's a good point. Yeah, when you cherry pick your, when you sort of edit your resume toward what you think this job is about, it doesn't get thin. Yeah, I understand.
Well,
that makes sense.
If we look at the resume as a marketing document and not a legal document, we must take the point of view, what does the employer need to see in order to understand I can solve their problems? And, of course, you start that with your executive summary, which is your branding statement or the promise you make to future employers. And once you've got their attention, then you use the bulk of your resume to prove that you have done and can do. Now, to speak to the point that the previous caller on Elizabeth's section said about, well, I've got 30 years experience, what do I do to hide that?
Mm-hmm.
Again, you don't. You take your first, let's say, 10 years your last 10 years of experience where it's germane to the new job, and then below that, you put the date, for instance, 1968 to 1986, various jobs within the software development world. It's done. It's taken care of.
I get it. Hey, we have a call from Mark in Teaneck. He has a question for you. Mark.
Yes, hi.
Yes.
I'm an unemployed 56-year-old attorney, and I have run across this situation a couple of times where I've applied for a job and gotten a telephone interview and have been told I was overqualified for a job I would love to have. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, what is that? Is overqualified some kind of code word?
Exactly. Overqualified in almost every case is just the caller or the interviewer easy way out of an interview situation or out of hiring you. What they're really saying to you is you didn't make the cut. You didn't sell me. Now, when somebody's already got to the point where they're interviewing, whether it's in person or on the phone, they already know whether or not you're overqualified.
And that's an interesting point. Yes, of
course.
But
they see something in your resume that tells them that you are the right person for the job. If we take the point of view that employers want to fill their positions and that they're calling you or taking the time to talk to you because they believe that you might be the solution to that hiring need that they have, what overqualified means is you didn't make the sale.
But what do you think, just guessing wildly, Mark might have, or anybody who is in that position and been called overqualified, what's the most common error that does disqualify them from a job that the employer was interested in them for?
By talking about promotional opportunities, by talking about their superhero capabilities rather than that which directly relates to the problem or job at hand.
Ah, you mean they got too grandiose?
They did, and a lot of people, especially the older workers, have every right to be extraordinarily proud of their accomplishments. But if those accomplishments are not spot on to what the employer needs at that moment, they shift the attention of the employer from, oh, well, we don't need that right now. What we do need is this over here.
Right. So, Rita, this touches right on something you've written on your blog, which is that employers want Clark Kent. They don't want Superman, right?
Exactly. And I'd like to address something, especially with the caller. One of the issues that people who've been unemployed for a while, for whatever reason, one of the issues they have to face, and I mean have to as in please face this, is they're angry. They have run a good race, and they're being forbidden to cross the finish line. and they are extraordinarily angry.
And it shows, you mean it leaks out in the interview?
It does. And right. I say leave it at the door. Well, you say, okay, Rita, if I could have done that, I would have. But there are ways that you can take the current job opportunity out of the anger cycle. I mean, they're already telling you we're interested, so don't be angry at them.
Let me talk to Mark for a second. Mark, when you hear all this advice, it must feel to you like we're blaming you, that somehow this person really wanted you and somehow you said something that turned them off, or you or your anger showed, or is this upsetting to hear this advice?
Well, it's enlightening, actually. Some of it actually rings true, and I think it's extremely helpful.
Yeah, because it would seem to me that while overqualified, you know, it turned out you want to learn from it and find it useful, it's also a wonderful excuse that makes you feel, while you remain unemployed, at least it makes you feel like it's not my fault. You get off the hook. You can embrace and emotionally hide behind the overqualified label, I was too good for that job, as opposed to, I think what Rita would say, correct me if I'm wrong, Rita, you blew it.
Well, I wouldn't say quite you blew it. I would say that there are things you can do to gain control so that you're less likely to get that. But I think you're spot on. And back to the anger thing, that's exactly how you minimize the anger, is by gaining control over what you're saying and how you're presenting yourself.
Well, Mark, thanks for calling in. You're wonderfully undefensive, and good luck in finding work.
Thank you very much.
It will. The economy will pick up. Something will happen.
Marty, I'm so glad you brought up this whole thing about blaming the applicant. I've heard that comment before, and in pure defense of myself, reality is exactly what reality is. And in order to minimize the effects of that reality, I try to help people combat ageism by modifications of their own behaviors, because that's the only thing over which they have any control.
Yeah, speaking of control, final question. We don't have much time for the answer, but what's this fraud syndrome that people, believing their success or failure is just luck? Is that your notion?
Yes. It's unfortunately, it's been documented in the employment world, and that we sometimes create our self-fulfilling prophecy by self-aggrandizement and applying for jobs for which we are not qualified to prove to ourselves that we really are a fraud. But I find that a lot less in the older worker than I do, for instance, the anger issue and how to address the marketing aspects of creating an older worker's job search. An over-reliance, for instance, on job boards, which simply don't work, and random submissions to job sites or companies, just sending out the resume at random, which have never been effective ways for anyone, any executive, to get a job.
Yes, in the 20 seconds that are left, last question. How about a facelift or Botox?
Never.
Why not? Be
proud of who you are, but manage your appearance in terms of, I send people to my blog that talks about the gorilla in the closet on how to minimize the effects of your appearance. What employers want, to leave you with one soundbite, what employers want is somebody who can absolutely do the job. So the extent to which you can communicate your fit for that job is the extent to which you will be considered.
Rita, Ashley, thank you very much. Sorry to cut you off, but we are out of time. Marty Goldenson in for Brian Lehrer. He'll be back tomorrow, I believe. Thanks for listening.